Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, we are glad that you're here today. I am Brent Ansel, World Outreach Church in Ankeny, Iowa. And you know what? Good things are happening. Amen. Good things are happening. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. And we just praise you, Lord, right now. I just lift up those people that are watching. We thank you that right now, Holy Spirit, that you are leading us and guiding us in all truth. Jesus, just like you told us there in the book of John, chapter 14 and 16, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to help us and to guide us and to lead us in all truth, Lord. We thank you, Lord, right now that the spiritual eyes of people are being opened right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that those tormenting spirits and those things that are harassing people and those worries and those cares, that the day that is rolling off on you, Lord, we thank you that no matter what we go through, we are always victorious in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're just going to open in some worship. Amen. And we just thank you, Lord, that we have a heart of worship today for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wherever you're at, you can just raise your hands this morning. Thank you, Lord. We'll just bless you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When the music fades, and all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth, bless your heart.
Sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made.
It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to sing an oldie here. Lord, we just worship you. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this time of just worship and praise for you, Lord God. And we thank you for your word that you sent it to set us free and heal us, Lord God. We thank you. And we just speak, Lord, right now that there is healing going on in people's lives. Lord God, emotionally, we thank you, Lord, physically. We thank you that there is a healing spiritually, Lord God, that people are being born again, set free in the name of Jesus because of your word. We thank you. In your name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Well, it is good to see you. We are glad that you joined us today here at World Outreach Church. And, amen. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled today. Amen. There are so many good things that God has done, and God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen. We thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Jesus came to set our liberty to the captive. Amen. He came to mend the brokenhearted. He came to set liberty. Liberty, freedom for you today. Amen. There's good things happening. Praise God. Praise God. Well, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Some people say 2 Corinthians, but we say 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. And today we're going to talk about love in every circumstance. Amen? Amen. There are things that are going to come against you. You know, if you've been around for more than about a year or two in this life, you know that people can upset you. Again, you choose to be upset. People can rub you the wrong way. People can annoy you. People can offend you. They can hurt you. And, you know, I've got a couple questions this morning. Has anybody ever given up on you? Another one is, have you ever been faithful to someone and they turned against you? Have you ever gone through things? Have you ever gone through junk? Well, yeah, if you've been around at all, we've all experienced, you know, some kind of disappointment. We've all had heartache, you know, and many people will say things like, well, you know, you just don't know what I've gone through. Hey, everybody's gone through things. Everybody has gone through something. And we're all in this together. Everybody has problems. You know, just because you get saved and you ask Jesus in your life doesn't mean that you're free from problems or free from the opportunity to be offended at people. Again, you know, Jesus had every opportunity to be offended and he chose not to. We look here at 2 Corinthians. We'll just kind of dive into this today. Amen. And if you got your Bible, hold it up. Praise God. Get your Bible out. I'm reading off of my, it says I'm going to read out of the Passion today. And we'll start in verse 4. And it says, yet as God's servants, we prove ourselves authentic in every way. For example, we have great endurance in hardships and in persecutions. We don't lose courage in a time of stress and calamity. We've been beaten many times in prison and found ourselves in the midst of riots. We've endured many troubles, had sleepless nights, and gone hungry. Now, this will go against a lot of the prosperity message. I believe in prosperity, but amen. This is what some of the things Apostle Paul went through. And the church there. We have proved ourselves by our lifestyles of purity, by our spiritual insights, by our patience, and by showing kindness, by the spirit of holiness, and by our uncritical love for you. We commend ourselves to you by our truthful teachings, by the power of God working through us, and with the mighty weapons of righteousness, a sword in one hand and a shield in the other. I mean, honor or dishonor, slander or praise, even when we are treated as deceivers and imposters, we remain steadfast and true. Amen. That's powerful. We are unknown nobodies whom everyone knows. We are frequently at death's door. Yet, here we are, still alive. Amen. Are you still alive today? Yes. We have been severely punished, yet not executed. We may suffer, yet in every season, we're always found rejoicing. Well, that's a really unpopular message today, isn't it? We may be poor, yet we bestow great riches on many. We seem to have nothing, yet in reality, we possess all things. Amen. Verse 11, my friends at Corinth, our hearts are wide open to you, and we speak freely, holding nothing back. from you. If there is a block in our relationship, it is not with us, for we carry you in our hearts with great love. Yet you still withhold your affections from us. So I speak to you as our children. Make room in your hearts for us as we have done for you. Powerful. You know, I want to tell you about a testimony I saw. It was really powerful. It was Kenneth Copeland on one of his broadcasts. It was very powerful. It was talking about his school there. He's got a Bible college. And one thing that just really touched my heart was this young man was just got out of prison. And he was so on fire for God. And didn't even know if he'd get accepted into the college or not. He had only been out of, God was supernaturally doing things for this young man, just pouring his love out onto this young guy. And 3 weeks, I think it was about 3 weeks after he had just gotten out of prison, got accepted to Kenneth Copeland's Bible College. Glory to God. Somebody had been in prison. Now, I've never been in prison. I've never been in jail. Okay? But I will say this, that a lot of people that I do know that get out of prison or that I've known people in the past, they're either bitter, upset, angry, and also, you know, glad to be out. But this guy was so joyful that, you know, he was upset. I didn't know if the college would accept me because I'm a felon. Amen. I went to Bible college with people that had multiple felons. And they are doing tremendous works for God. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul is talking about being in prison, having lack, being persecuted. These are not always from worldly people. They are from those Christians. Other people who, quote, unquote, call themselves Christians. Amen? And the Apostle Paul took a licking and kept on ticking, right? What's that? That energized bunny, whatever it is, it's beating the drums, right? He keeps going. That's what we are. We are Christians and we are to keep going. But this man really moved me, and I thought, that's powerful how this young man, instead of going back into the world and getting into sin and committing more crimes, decided to take his testimony and run with God. Glory to God. See, we don't have to be bitter when things don't go our way or we've made mistakes. And that's all sin is. Sin is just simply trying to getting you to be separated from the love of God. And we're going to find out more things about the love of God here soon. But sin simply separates us from the presence of God. And it makes it so we will not and do not want to approach Him. So again, the Apostle Paul here tells those at Corinth, right, that had been faithful, I'm not so sure about you. But he went through all of these things, and many people didn't appreciate his ministry or what he's doing. You know, the sad thing is, years ago, I love watching sometimes on YouTube, I'll watch old clips of some of the old healing, you know, ministers of the 40s and the 50s during the healing revival. And it's amazing how people will come out against those folks because they are doing good. They're producing the works of God. They are producing the fruits of the Spirit. Again, now, you know, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Well, we see them in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, all of those things, right? Faithfulness. That many of those healing preachers were obviously healing. The devil doesn't want you healed. The devil wants you sick and broke, right? And that's why I have kind of an issue with people who will say, well, you know, this coronavirus, you know, God works in mysterious ways. God did not put this coronavirus on people. I mean, do you know how much this has cost people? I mean, how many people have died from coronavirus? You know, my Bible tells me that John 10:10 says that Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. You know, right before that it says that the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So we've got to delineate between the two, that God is out to heal us and to provide for us, and the devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy from us. When we begin to get our theology mixed up, then what happens is we're not going to experience certain things, and we're not going to have an intimacy with God. And that's really what it is. We need to have an intimacy. Excuse me, I'll get it out. Intimacy with God. Say that fast 10 times, huh? But, amen. You still with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Pull up your pajamas. Get your coffee. Hopefully you got your Bible. We're gonna dive into some things today. But we know that God's a good God. And God did not put this coronavirus on people. He is not out killing people. He wants people to be set free. Now, sometimes we sin and disobey, we can bring things on ourselves. We see that all throughout the Bible, don't we? We see all there in the Old Testament, where sickness and disease came on those pagans. The people didn't even believe in God, wouldn't even submit to Him. And so, you know, sickness and disease is not something that belongs to us. It does not belong to you. It is not something that was, again, God created it. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. There's no hospitals in heaven. Everybody is healthy, wealthy, and wise up there. Amen? So again, God is not here putting those things on us. But what Paul is talking about here is persecution. People coming against him. Having lack. But he still goes. He still is loving people no matter what. And so again, there's three questions I want to ask you today. Number one, has anybody ever given up on you? Have you been faithful to someone and they turned on you? Have you experienced betrayal in your life? Well, again, if you've been around very long, the answer was probably yes, right? Have you ever had people not appreciate you? Now, think about it at that time, you know, and a lot of people, again, hindsight is always, we say 20/20. And we always want to cast and throw stones at the disciples during that time, you know. Think about, do you realize who you're walking with? You were walking with Jesus. We see now, looking back during Jesus' time period, and then his burial and resurrection, that he was just not a prophet. We look back now at the writings of the Apostle Paul in the canonization of the Bible. The Apostle Paul was probably, if not the, but one of the most prolific writers of the Bible. The Holy Spirit inspired him. And so many of these people weren't even appreciating what he was doing at the time. And now we look back that, Paul will remain in the history books. Obviously, he's in the Word of God for eternity because of his revelation, because of the revelation the Holy Spirit gave him. And the people did not appreciate him. One of the, probably the most theologically, had the most revelation besides probably Jesus Christ himself. But the Apostle Paul was one of them and had one of the most, revelation. And they didn't appreciate him at that time. You know, I just remember years ago, the church, we used to have a stand-up at a local event where people would come. And, we'd have some water there. It was the summertime. And we would give drawings away and prizes and talk to people. And we use it kind of as an outreach opportunity. And I kind of had a revelation the very last year we did it. It was good, don't get me wrong. We met people and there were some really good things to come out of it. But there were some certain prizes that we were giving away. And one of them was, an Apple iPod. And so we called the person. I showed up the house. And it was a young kid. I don't know, he was probably his teenager back then. So he was probably a young teenager. Dropped it off. And I think his mother was at the door, dropped it off. And she acted like it was the worst thing to answer the door and to have to talk to me. And I thought, we're blessing someone and they don't appreciate it. They didn't appreciate me. They didn't appreciate the gift. And I thought, it was a good wake-up call for me. But again, I didn't let it bother me. Moved on. But I wonder, just kind of in a fleeting moment, and I thought, this is how Jesus feels. That he's paid for something for us. Many people won't receive it, and they don't appreciate it. How many of you, and I've had this before too, over the years, where I've given people money, helped them move, been there for them when they're crying and upset. I've been there for people during the death of loved ones, comforted them, ministered to them during that time, been there for them, counseled them, and then what? They leave. They become unfaithful. They are, many of them aren't even serving God anymore. When they've, again, tasted the goodness of God and walk away from him. Now, it's easy to take those things personal, and you can take things personal, right? But who are they really walking away from? Right, the Lord. And whatever it is that you're dealing with, the Lord's the answer this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're watching this. But here's the key. How are we going to react? That's a key. You know, I remember what Kenneth Hagin said, that, obviously, birds can fly over your head, but we don't have to let them make a nest on our head. That's true. You're going to have thoughts. You're going to have people come against you. And, again, we've all had people come against us. But it's how we react. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, verse 37. We're going to read a couple scriptures here. Matthew 22, 37. And, the Bible talks about ironing, sharpening iron. Meaning, that's one thing where, again, in America, we have freedom of speech, not freedom from offense. The Bible gives us freedom from sin, freedom from oppression, freedom from the devil, freedom from those things. But again, we are not free from the attack. We are not free from people doing things to us. We are not, I always like to say, the older I get, the more funerals I go to, right? Over time. You're going to experience heartache. You're going to experience things in your life, but how are you going to react? How are you going to react? Are you going to have, is your heart going to get hard? Or are you going to have a soft heart towards God? Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So you love God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now, how many people do that? Right? With all of your heart, with all of your soul. What's your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. With all of your mind. First Thessalonians 5:23 says that there's three parts to man. And many people get this mixed up, especially in the denominational world. There's a spirit, that's what we're born again. We have a born again spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're a brand new creature in Christ, right? When we accept Jesus Christ, we're baptized into him. When there, in the book of Romans, it talks about putting on Jesus Christ our Lord, putting him on. That means being born again, putting him on, being baptized into the body of Christ. We are born again at that point. We're created new. It is our spirit, and then our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and then our body. So there's three parts. Some people say, the Lord saved my soul last night. No, he didn't. Your spirit man got born again. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, talks about we're to renew our minds. Renew our minds, which is our soul, it's our thinking. It's our mind, will, and emotions are wrapped up in our soul. And then we have our body. So there's three parts to us. But Jesus is telling us, he's saying, number one, with your heart. That's your spirit, man. And then your soul and your mind, right? Combined. We are to love Him with our entire being. Love Him with our entire being. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Turn there real quick. This is the King James, right? Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Hallelujah. Are you being set free today? Is this good? And this is good. Why? Because it's not me. It's the Bible. Amen. I have nothing to give. Sorry. It's the Word of God. Luke chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Correct? So, not only are we supposed to love God with our entire being, which some people, you know, they act like it kills them to acknowledge God. Or, oh, I gotta go to church. Oh, I gotta. Oh, I gotta. Oh, I gotta do this. Oh, I gotta do this. It's the, you know, King David said that he jumped up and down. He would praise God, and his cloak would fly off of him. I mean, that's some pretty wild dancing, right? You know, it's amazing how people in the Old Testament would do things, and you know, a lot of denominations are, we're Old Testament, and I'm for the Old Testament, okay? I am not against the Old Testament. We look at the way people praise and worship in the Old Testament as opposed to the modern church. Hello, we're born again, and you should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You should be baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? And it is like raising the dead sometimes. We should be convicted by the folks in the Old Testament. David would dance and shout. I mean, his cloak flew off of him. His clothes were flying off because he danced so wild. Now, we don't want you throwing your clothes off, all right? But the point is that David praised and worshiped God with his entire being. Old Testament, spiritually dead, not even born again. He had his sins atoned. His sins weren't even remitted yet. They weren't even gone. They just kept covering it up until Jesus showed up. These people were praising and worshiping God. Everything. They loved God with their entire being. Now, did David make mistakes? King David make mistakes? Oh, you betcha. Right? And there were some things going on there. Oh, of course. Many of these people made mistakes. We made mistakes. All of sin falls short of the glory of God. Right? Yeah, that's in the Bible. It's in there. So, what are we supposed to do? Keep on with the Lord. Move forward. There's no, you know, in the Bible, there's no retreat at all. I don't remember reading anything in the Bible that God said retreat when he told people to move forward and there was war. I don't remember that. When Solomon was there and, you know, when he was king and David stopped by and brought his brothers lunch, and we've got, you know, we've got the Philistines with their champion Goliath, and then we have, on the other side there, you know, Saul was a head and shoulders taller than anybody else. I mean, Saul looked like a king, right? He was big. He was, you know, might have been kind of intimidating. He was bigger than everybody else. He was a tall guy, the word says. Why didn't he take care of it, right? You know, The Spirit of God never says retreat. It always says move forward. Now, maybe sometimes there's a regrouping, or maybe, you know, God is doing some different things and moving people in different positions. And again, there's sometimes that goes on. But I never see any time where the Holy Spirit tells people to give up or give in or retreat or run away. No. And I'm talking about, again, moving forward in things. Now, if you're in a dangerous situation, the Holy Spirit tells you to leave or do it, that's understandable, okay? But I'm talking about giving up. The 23rd Psalms in the Passion Translation. The 23rd Psalms in the Passion Translation. I always have a little trick here. I always like to take my Bible, split it right in half. And you're usually right in Proverbs or right there in the middle. You're either in Proverbs or Psalms, and boom, right there. So I just took my Bible and went right there. Now, if you've got you know, 300 pages of maps in the back, and I mean, probably not going to work, but I always like to just do a little trick right down the middle, and you're usually writing Proverbs or Psalms. So a good little tip for you. So Psalms 23rd, the 23rd chapter of the book of Psalms in the Passion, and this is David's poetic praise to God. And it says, "The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd." Oh, I love this translation. This is so good. "I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love." Ooh, that's good. I like that. Luxurious love. Woo. "His tracks take me to his oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life." Praise God. "He opens before me the paths to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of the deepest, darkest fear, will never conquer me. You already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit." This is wonderful, I'm just telling you right now. "You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future?" It's a good question. "For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you." That was wonderful. Do you notice that David wasn't talking about like a, you know, self-help Christian thing or these three steps or do this program or do this or do that? He was talking about absorbing the Lord, drinking his spirit in, taking him in as a person. This is in the Passion, this is something where you could read 10 times, 100 times. What does this Passion say? It gets your soul under control, doesn't it? This is a key to meditating on Scripture, is this will get your soul under control. This will get your mind, will, and emotions begin to get it centered in Him. I listened to some denominational folks and everything, and they're like, well, or even the world, you know, well, God forgot about me. God, no, it says right here, "The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd." My best friend. My best friend. What is a best friend, right? It's you're sharing with one another. You're doing things together. You talk. You communicate. You share your feelings with them, your secrets. They know you better than anybody else. And then also, too, he offers me a place, a resting place for me in his what luxurious love. Not just love, but luxurious love. It is something where he is so, you know, I was listening to this lady talking about heaven. And she said, she had a vision or there was about the banquet table, right? Because what happens is when we're raptured, we're going to be eaten and there's going to be a banquet table. I know, everyone makes fun of me because usually every Sunday I'm talking about food. Well, I'm talking about food again. But we're going to sit at a banquet table. And she said she saw the Lord pulling up a chair next to people and just looking at them and having a conversation. Can you imagine the God of the universe his son is pulling his chair next to you at the banquet table and in heaven, and even right now. See, we don't have to wait till we're at the banquet table right now. But he's interested in you. See, he's interested in you. And the devil and the world and all these lies, they want to tell you that God doesn't care. He's not interested. That he's causing all of these things. He's not causing all these things, guys. I'm telling you right now, he's not causing these things. But he's interested in you. And as I began to just, this lady was talking about it, and I began to just meditate and think about the Lord, just, and I had this vision of him. I was just in prayer about the Lord. He and I walking shoulder to shoulder, and him just looking at me, just a big smile on his face the whole time as we were talking. That he was so interested in me. This vision that I had. He was so focused on me that he cared about everything. He cared about what I liked, what I was interested in. But as I, in this vision, as I saw the Lord, I couldn't take my eyes off of him. He was so spectacular. He was so wonderful that in prayer that I could not, I just could not walk away. I just had to be with him all the time. And he was thinking about me the whole time. He was thinking about me the whole time. Now, it's hard for us to imagine, but God is thinking about every person at the same time. The Word says that he's got every hair on our head numbered. Some of us more than others. But the point is, he knows every little detail about us, and he's interested in every little detail about us. Jesus said there when he was going to heaven, he goes, I go to prepare a place for you, right? Those who are believers, those who are born again, he is now in the phase of preparing a place for you. He is preparing a mansion for you, every detail that is the desire of your heart. He is going right now, he and the angels are right now are preparing a place for us. He told us that right before he descended into heaven. He's like, I am going to prepare a place for you. And he said that, told that to the disciples too before he died on the cross. He said, I am going to prepare a place for you. Every detail. And in this vision that I had of the Lord during prayer, I could not take my eyes off of him. I was so enthralled with someone that their whole being was focused on love for me. Like, I was created for him to love me. You know what? God has created you just for the purpose to love you. That's it. What was the assignment of Adam and Eve in the day? Well, I digress, but this is good. Adam and Eve in the day, when they were created, when Adam was created, it was to what? To tend to the garden and to hang out with God. That was it. I mean, all Adam, I mean, really, how much tending of the garden? There was no sin at that time. Really, what it, the point is this, that all he was doing was eating and hanging out with God. And then if anything came along, he had authority to take authority over it, which he didn't. He failed. That was the purpose of mankind being created, was to fellowship with God, just to hang out with him. Just to be with God. This 23rd Psalms in the Passion, I believe, sums up a relationship that David had, his heart with the Father, his heart with the Lord. It's powerful. And if you're listening to things about just, you know, God doesn't care, and God isn't the one getting us out of this coronavirus, it's our ability, it's ours, you know what, without God, our planet would spin out of orbit, and it would explode, and we'd run into something. God has his order, and he has control over everything. Now, he doesn't control you. You have a free will, which he gave you, and thank God he did give us a free will. We're not robots. But he still has this universe and this system in control, meaning he has things in order. And thank God he does. Amen. Want to shout? Go ahead and shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the sad thing is, you know, we're seeing through this coronavirus, we're seeing this in the midst of everything right now, without a revelation of this, we're seeing people giving up on life.
someone I know just committed suicide this week. It's terrible. It's awful. But no, you know, there was somebody else that I read too that had committed suicide. We need God. We need to have God in our life. We need to have Him. He brings peace. He brings stability in our life. When you read the Word and you're into, when you pray and you're intimate with God, you begin to have an eternal perspective. The devil wants you to think that everything right now, this is the end of everything. We are at the end of, you know, if we don't get through, everything's awful, terrible, and we're all going to get the coronavirus, we're all going to die, and it's going to be a pandemic and everything. That's not what the Bible says at all. No way. God's people, we are going to live, we're going to be raptured. Eventually, there will be tribulation at some point. There will be the battle of Armageddon. You know, there's going to be a millennium. All of these things will happen. Why? Because the Word says so. And the cool thing about God is He's in all places at all times. He's in every dimension at all times. He is in the past, present, and future right now. He knows everything. He said that I am the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. He knows everything. He is in absolutely every dimension at all times. He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end because He's been every place and He's there now, right? It's hard for us to boggle and to understand through our little brain. But God is so infinite and He's so amazing. So I know that this coronavirus is not going to take over the world and we're all going to end up dead. Why? Because the Bible says so. It's not hell. We can get through it. So even if you're in a financial situation, it doesn't matter. God can still get you through. I've had times where I have been so destitute and things have just been so awful, and God comes through and He's faithful. Again, it's an eternal perspective, meaning that this is temporary. You know, the Apostle Paul said, our life is but a vapor. We look at everything. We're only here for a little while, guys, and then we're gone. I hope the rapture comes, like, now. Soon. But the point is, if it doesn't, and the Lord tarries, then sometime, you know, we're all going to die. We're all going to go. But again, it's how we're going to perceive this stuff. If you think that this is all the life is when you die, and you just turn into a vapor, which you don't. But for me, you know, just like Apostle Paul said, for me, death is gain. I mean, I'm kind of caught between two. Do I stay here and help the church, or do I die and move on? If we have an eternal perspective, and we know that, hey, if I take my last breath, that's good news. That's hope. And Jesus came to give us hope. Again, you know, people, it's all going to be our perspective on this. You know, I know people that... you know, my grandparents came out of the Depression. I have a grandfather that lived in a chicken coop for a while. You know, did he end up living his whole life in a chicken coop? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But some people, you know, during the Depression, we're seeing people jumping out of buildings and committing suicide. And I know people personally that they didn't comb their own hair and do things before the Depression. Then when that Black Monday hit and the Depression, the stock market crashed, people commit suicide. Why? Because their faith is in the dollar. Their faith is in their ability to do things. Their faith is in this natural realm. Nobody saw this coming. But, again, we look back to this, the 23rd Psalms there. God is our best friend. The Lord is our best friend, and He's our shepherd. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd protects. A shepherd loves. Shepherd feeds. He's taking care of us. But He's our best friend. And He's what? Lavishing us with luxurious love. Luxurious love, right? And many people, it's hard to comprehend because you've never seen love before, right? Everything is about, you don't do this for me, so I'm not going to do this for you. Or you've done this to me, so there, it's all cause and effect. God is all about, I'm going to lavish my luxurious love on you because you're created and I just genuinely love you. And it's very hard for some people to even comprehend this, right? And we will wrap things up here in a minute, but Luke chapter 12, Verse 22, Luke 12, 22. Are you still with me? I love you. And God loves you so much. Amen. I am not into the whole, you know, making people feel good all the time and everything else. You know, all this, how can I say, the hyper grace message and all that junk. No, no. God's grace is here. I want to do things for God because He loves me so much. And in return, I love Him. And it's not about what can I get out of doing because of God's grace. But God's grace pulls me into Him. Then I just want to know Him more. I want to do more for Him. You know? I want to live a clean and holy life. Right? And I believe it's going to become popular again. Jesus, there in Luke 12, 22. Verse 22 is Jesus taught, and this is a passion also, I'm sorry. Jesus taught His disciples, saying, listen to me. Never let anxiety enter your hearts. Never worry about any of your needs, such as food or clothing. Do you realize that, again, people are so distressed right now. They're committing suicide because their needs aren't met, or they lost their job, or their business, or things are going wrong. Jesus tells us, don't even think about that stuff. Just don't even get worried about that. All right? For your life is infinitely more than just food or clothing to wear. Take the carefree birds as your example. Do you ever see them worry? They don't grow their own food or put that in the storehouse for later. Yet God takes care of every one of them, feeding each of them from His love and His goodness. You know, God is even concerned about the animals, right? I mean, there's food for them. He provides for them. I mean, when he made the earth, well, let's just say recreated the earth, and He started putting fish in the sea and animals, and now the animals and the food, He made it for us. And then He put Adam in the garden. Well, all the provisions were there. The plants, everything was, the food was provided for the animals and for Adam. Isn't your life more precious to God than a bird? Be carefree in the care of God. Now, this is interesting here, what he said. You know, talking about be carefree in the care of God. So that means that we need to be in the care of God. And then within that, to be carefree. So we're positioned with Him. Verse 25, does worry add anything to your life? Can it add one more year? Nope. Or even one day? So if worrying adds nothing, but actually subtracts from your life, well, we see science about that, right? Why would you worry about God's care of you? So I always hear anything about the science, you know, lately. We need to go with the science for, you know, coronavirus. And I'm completely for science, and I'm completely for, archaeology, right? If they would actually use and go with the actual science rather than politicizing things, that would be nice, right? Or spinning things to, you know, alter scientific results. Hello? But science will always prove the Bible. Amen. I'm not scared of science. And as a Christian, you shouldn't be scared of science. Now, when it gets political and there's dishonesty, which we know that there's, again, dishonesty out there in the science realm, but when it's true science or archaeology to you know, definitely find proof of the Bible, we're seeing that more and more every day, that as you know, archaeologists are finding more and more information, we see here that Jesus is talking about here in verse 26 that worry actually is going to subtract from your life. We know that. Science proves that. Verse 27, think about the lilies. They grow and become beautiful. Not because they work hard or strive to clothe themselves, yet not even Solomon, wearing his kingly garments of splendor, could be compared to the fields of the lilies. If God can clothe the fields and the meadows with grass and flowers, Can he clothe you as well? Oh, struggling one with so many doubts. I repeat it. Don't let worry enter your life. Live above the anxious cares about your personal needs. People everywhere seem to worry about making a living, but your Heavenly Father knows your every need and will take care of you. Each and every day, He will supply your needs as you seek His kingdom passionately. Above all else, so don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Loving your Father joyously gives you His kingdom realm with all its promises. So you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, you were talking about persecution earlier. Now you're talking about the love of God. What cemented the Apostle Paul through all of those things that he would go through living hell for the cause? And Jesus went to hell on our behalf and still kept the faith in hell those 3 days. It's the love of God. It is His lavish love on us that keeps us grounded, keeps us focused, that no matter what we're going through, the coronavirus, whether it's lack, whether it's loneliness, no matter what it is, or persecution, we're still going to move forward with an eternal perspective of God being our Father, loving us. He's our best friend. He's there for us. He's watching out for us, and He's taking care of us, and He loves us. Our situation, our circumstances may be screaming likewise. Our feelings and emotions may be screaming something else. Our bank account may be laughing at us. I've had that before. But guess what? God's love is going to give us strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? It does. All right. We are not going to get all the way through this, but that's okay. Like I always do, I always overstuff the turkey. But I want to close with just a few things here. We see that 1 John 4:18, I want to close with this. And this is a message. To love, to be loved, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in the life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. And this is good. There's no room in love for fear. See, it's either we're either in love or we're in fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully informed in love. So, you can see that if we're fearful in life, we're fearful of death, we are fear of judgment, we're scared of what God's going to do to us, we're not walking in His love, are we? We don't have confidence in who He is. We don't have confidence that He's going to take care of us. And really, when you're walking in that love, the people that have done the most for God and those who are full of faith, we talk about faith. What is faith? Faith is the confidence in God, His character, His love for us, His confidence in us. Us having confidence in Him that He's going to back us when we walk righteous with Him. If you're having a fear in life, if you're having fear of death, then that means that you're not confident where you're going. If you have fear in life, that means you're confident God doesn't care about you. He's not going to provide your needs and He's not going to be here for you. Right? If you're fear of judgment, man, if I was gone tomorrow and I'm standing before Jesus, obviously, it would be, oh Lord, you know, I would just feel so unworthy, but his love would draw me to him, that I would just want to run to him. Amen. I just want to run to the throne. All I know is I get under the side, and there's heavens there. I just see the throne room of God. I just want to take like a shot and run to that throne and to see him. Where's Jesus, right? But if you're what we call sin conscious, meaning you're focused on your mistakes, your sin, you're not convinced of God's love, then you're gonna fall into this fear. And you'll be concerned about things. Amen. And again, doesn't mean problems are gonna go away and you're not gonna have any problems and bills aren't gonna show up and things are gonna happen. Yes, they are. But you got a peace because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. So no matter you're going through persecution, whether we're going through famine, whether we're going through, pestilence, no matter what we're going through, God is there and he is love and he's going to see us through. And there's no need to give up. There's no need to give up. So, the great thing is, we've all been at a church for how many weeks now? And you're like, well, it's been a long time since I've been in church too. Perfect time to get in church. Amen? We are going to be glad to have you in our church. Praise God. You need to get into a church. You need to get in and serve when this thing's all done. Put your hand to something. Amen? Do something for God. Hallelujah. Witness to people. Get people born again. Which leads me to the last thing. If you don't know Jesus, all right? If you do not know Jesus, and you have no idea what I'm even talking about this whole time. You know what? Hey, Brent, I would love to have the peace that you have. I would love to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'd like to make Jesus my best friend. You can do it. It's real easy. It is really easy. Let's just pray. Amen? And just repeat it after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus. Right now, I thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I thank you that he died on the cross for my sins. And right now, I believe that Jesus is Lord and that you are the Son of God. Come into my life. Make me that new creature that you talk about. Right now, I commit my life to you. I give you my life. Make things different. Speak to my heart right now about the path that I need to go. And I thank you that you're leading and guiding me into truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. That's the most important decision that you've made. Amen. And also, too, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is very powerful. We'll be talking about that soon. Amen. Well, praise God. A couple other announcements here. It's an opportunity to give, amen, to the church and to be a blessing to the church. Amen. We can sow into the word. The Apostle Paul talked about, is it so much that I give you something spiritual that you can't return something natural? What a blessing to give to God. Amen. And it is something that we are not giving just to man and to an organization, but we are giving unto God. Amen. We are sowing into the spirit realm. When we give of natural, of funds, the word says that he is receiving tithes. He is receiving our tithes and our offerings. Amen. And you can give to, you can mail it. It is World Outreach Ankeny. Again, it's World Outreach Ankeny. It's A-N-K-E-N-Y. It's P.O. Box 1099. I like to think of it as just like the tax form. 1099. In Ankeny, Iowa, A-N-K-E-N-Y, Iowa, and that's 50023. And also, you can give online, which is the most easiest and convenient way. It is www.worldoutreachankeny. It's W-O-R-L-D, worldoutreachankeny.com. And again, Ankeny is A-N-K-E-N-Y.com. Amen, and you can sow. And let me just pray for you really quick here too. Father, we just thank you, those who are sowing into your kingdom. We thank you that they're blessed. I thank you, Lord, right now, and I'm just praying for all people out there, Lord. Through this time, I pray that their needs are met, Lord. I thank you that they have food, they have supplies, they have everything that they need, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, right now, supernaturally, their needs are being met. I thank you, Lord, that finances are coming into their hands, Lord. Maybe those who have lost work or they've seen hours reduced or whatever the scenario is, our heart is that you have money to pay your bills. Lord God, just like we were reading in the Word right now, that Jesus said that he provides those needs for the birds and the animals. That I thank you, Lord, that their needs are met, Lord, right now. Finances are coming into their hands, Lord God, that people are blessing them. And also pray for people right now for healing, Lord God. Those people out there that need to receive healing, I pray healing into their lives right now, that there is healing moving into their body, that the working power, the power of God is right now working in their body in the name of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus. Their bodies are healed, Lord God. I pray for them, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that the backs are being healed, legs are being healed, arms. We speak cancer is being healed in the name of Jesus. Those people who have coronavirus, that you are healed in the name of Jesus, supernaturally recovering right now in the name of Jesus. From the cold, the flu, everything is being healed in the name of Jesus. Any kind of ailment, in the name of Jesus, it's being healed. We speak to bodies right now, and we speak the power of God flowing into their body in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you do have a testimony, please let us know. We want to hear of financial blessings. We want to hear of healings. Recently, we've had people that, you know, they've had money come into their hands they didn't expect it, and people that, you know, should have been laid off, actually people working less hours receiving more money. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that idea. So, you know, we're getting testimonies of people that God is providing their needs, and, you know, people are being healed all the time. Amen. And it's not because of what we're doing or anything else. It's because of the power of God and the Word of God that will come back without void. Amen. It will accomplish what it's called to do, and it will not return void. Amen. So I just speak peace into your life right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you are healthy. We are praying for you. We love you. And we thank you that things are recovering. And we can't wait to meet you in person. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.